Hi, this is Tom Trush from runningaudio.com. During this 26-minute interview with Sadie Nardini, a top New York City yoga teacher whose endurance-building breathing techniques have been featured in Runner's World and Men's Health, you'll discover why your current breathing style while running is likely stimulating anxiety and multiplying your risk of hyperventilation. The simple secret to using literal eye focus that makes it easy to relieve stress and ward off fatigue on your longest runs. And the exact time to stretch so you can skyrocket your stamina almost magically without even running a single stride.
There's so much focus on the physical aspect. Run this certain amount and then the next week pick it up a little bit, go this distance. Well, you know, I know just from personal experience, finishing a marathon is so much more mental than physical.
But I think that's what it has to be. Right, because, you know, they say the wall. You hit the wall, and your body's not necessarily going to get you through the wall because that's why you hit a wall. Your body's done.
Right.
So you need something else. You need some other tools. And I equate it when I teach my clients. I teach a lot of New York City marathon runners. I help prepare them, and I help prepare them mentally and physically, but then I also help them afterwards because it's hard on the body. But, you know, it's such a, you need to hit a certain place, and then all of a sudden, what do you have? Like, if you've only trained technically, you've got these technical details, like how long you're supposed to run, what you're supposed to eat, your alignment, your pacing, whatever, but then when you need some mental or some other tool, they're not there. And so I think it's really great that you're doing this, you know, because running is so much more than technical, like any form of exercise. The more you put into it on different levels, the more you get out of it.
Oh, I agree so much.
Yeah, so, like, for example, my brother is a marathon runner, and one night he was complaining to me that he would run for 8 miles and then fatigue, and it was, like, every night he was just so frustrated with himself. It's like, 8 miles is, like, this death my wall, and I need to be able to run a lot more than 8 miles, and so I ran with him for half an hour, and I saw how he was breathing. And like many runners, like 99% of runners, he was breathing a very high chest breath. You know, like sometimes they'll pace and like breathe in, breathe out, or they'll just breathe, you know, normally, but it's up high in the chest. And that's actually not getting a lot of oxygen into the body. And it stimulates an anxiety response within the body as well to breathe that way. Because that's the way we breathe when we hyperventilate or when we're nervous or scared. So you can actually shut the body down by breathing the way most runners breathe.
So what are some things? I know you mentioned kind of the sound of the breath, but how can you recognize it when you're running?
Well, I mean, most people just do that. Most people do. They breathe. It's just it's in the chest. You know, you're breathing short breaths in the chest. You'll know when you're doing that because they are short chest breaths. But here's the way to. Anyway, he did this breath I'm about to tell you about, and the next day he ran 16 miles without fatigue.
Wow.
Like, it will double the endurance with most runners. I do it all the time with people. It's a yoga breath, but put into running. So you take deep inhales and exhales through the nose as you run. Nose, because the sinuses are filters and they're moister, so you won't get a bunch of dry air. And you inhale like 3 or 4 paces, and you exhale 3 or 4. So it's a totally radically different way to breathe when you're running, but it gets so much oxygen into your system that you actually endure far longer and you have less soreness afterwards. So you can try, if you have to breathe through the mouth, you can do that, but still the more you move, the slower you breathe. It's counterintuitive, but we know that that's a breath that calms the body down as well as gets a ton more oxygen in. So if runners can slow the breath like that, it also becomes very meditative, so it's great for the mind, because when you're breathing and running, you're breathing slower with a few more paces, you actually move into your parasympathetic nervous system, which helps you kind of go into the zone and focus better and calm the body down, so it's not using up energy being stressed out or trying to get through this run. It actually helps on every level. Very cool breath.
So have you noticed in teaching people this breath that the results have been similar to what your brother experienced, where it is
always
pretty fast?
Yeah, always, from one run to the next.
Wow.
Recovery time is faster. Just feels totally different. Everyone who's a runner should try it, I think, at least for, you know, a week and get used to it and see what they feel like and see how they fatigue and don't and how their mind focuses. But you can hear that sound of the breath when you breathe through the nose like that. You hear a sound, and in yoga we use that sound to meditate on, to like focus the mind on that sound. It's called ocean sounding breath, so it sounds a little bit like waves coming in and out in your head.
So it
gives
almost,
you something to do.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to bring up, that you're focusing not on the strenuous aspect of the run. It's more you focus on something else, put your mind someplace other than the run, and then your legs just continue to move. But it's kind of one of those things, it sounds like when you're driving along in the car and you get to a certain point, you're like, boy, how did I get to this point?
Right. Well, what's more fun, driving in a car, you know, waiting to get somewhere and, like, knowing how your butt hurts because you've been sitting for 3 hours in a car and you're tired and you just want to get there already? I mean, what's more fun, that or, like, bopping along to a loud classic rock song on the radio while you're driving, then all of a sudden, and when looking at the scenery and noticing things that are happening, and all of a sudden you got there.
Yeah.
That you actually enjoyed the process. And for me, any form of exercise is, you know, it's part of your life that you've taken up. It's, you know, a run is an hour or an hour and a half or whatever of your life gone by. So I prefer to try to enjoy that instead of, and it's not comfortable to do physical exercise, but it can be kind of feel like living. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you run, I counsel people to find ways to expand into that moment instead of let it contract you down. Like if you focus on how uncomfortable your legs are and how far you've gone and how far you have to go, I mean, those are limiting things that kind of tend to shut you down and make you focus on the smaller aspects of the moment, like, and the negative feelings of the moment. So instead, I have clients do anything possible to expand themselves, like focus on who's behind you, like who's supporting you to run like this, and who would be proud of you, like your child or your partner, a charity you're running for, or people, think about people you don't even know that can't run. Like someone lying in a hospital bed is a really good way to get past the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Because you think about people who can't, and someday you won't be able to run either. So what a joy it is to be able to move like this. And think of your kids, think of your projects coming up. You think of anything that you can to give you more power in the moment instead of less. So, like, what fuels you to run? Notice your environment, you know. Run with nature. Be in the nature instead of just trying to get somewhere or get the run accomplished. Look around you. Look at the sun. Look at the trees and feel that wind going by and just kind of try to get there in the present moment and see what you have instead of what you don't. So I tend to, like, I'll notice that runners who fatigue easier are people who concentrate on how bad it feels. And the people who succeed more in the runs are people who concentrate on how good it feels and how amazing it is that they're running at all. And they kind of run from the inside out instead of the outside in.
Do you find that, especially when you're working with beginning runners, that obviously there are going to be the ones that are going to fatigue a little bit sooner, but that's also because that's where their mindset is at, that, oh, this is going to be tough. This is going to be a really challenge. I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah, and they don't have all the tools of maybe a more mature runner, you know. They don't have some of these mind tools. They don't have the physical endurance yet either. So beginners also have to be easy on themselves and say, not that I'm going to make myself run, you know, 5 miles today, but I'm going to run and see how I feel and use these tools I'm learning. And then when my body says I'm done right now, that's it. And then I'm going to press it a little bit wider the next time. So there's a kind of adventurous spirit, like I'm going to do what I can, and I'm going to work on my alignment, and this is an adventure for me, not like something, some kind of exercise that just sucks or it's going to be hard or now I have to get in shape, it's going to take forever. I mean, there are two mindsets, positive and negative, and you've got to switch yourself into the positive mindset however you can, regardless of if you've never run before and this is your first day or if you've run for years. That only helps. You know, it's a mind-body connection, it really is. Get into a positive mind frame, and it makes everything else more possible.
How long do you see that it takes for them to transition into that positive mindset? Is it something that I guess I can see some people, you know, just getting frustrated right off the bat, and even
sure.
thinking that they know that they've got to get into that positive mindset because they're not getting there. Well, then they're getting frustrated and they're putting themselves in the negative mindset.
Right, right.
So how long do you normally see it taking? And
well, you know, it depends on, I think it depends on the person's nature, because there are some people that are positive by nature and some people not so much. I'm in New York City, so I tend to see a lot of the more cynical beginners.
Sure.
You know, that just are so bummed out because they got themselves to a certain place and they're in their body and they're not happy and they know they need to start running, and so it becomes like a chore. And so right away I try to turn them to, like, this is your choice. Nobody's forcing you to be a runner. Nobody's forcing you to work out. If you choose it, then rock it. If you choose it, here are some tools that you can use to enjoy it more. And if you hate it, you can always stop. So I put the choice back, because a lot of people feel almost victimized by beginning to run, like they have to. And, you know, it's this horrible form of exercise, just like pounding the pavement. It's repetitive. And they'll eventually, most of them, break through into the joy of running. But if they don't naturally gravitate towards it and love it from the beginning, and they love to run, then, you know, I just try to kind of take that mindset and tweak it a little bit. Like, you're choosing this. So if you're choosing it, use everything you can to make it fun for you. This is your life.
What about in your email to me, you had mentioned something called literal eye focus. What does that involve?
Right. Well, that's a gazing point. We use it in yoga in order to not harden down into the moment. A lot of runners, I notice, will look at everything all over the place. They'll, like, look at this, that, and that's actually something that makes the mind and the body anxious to look all. I don't know if you've ever run and you've been looking at all this stuff, and all of a sudden you feel a little bit, like, itchy and anxious and weird. It's like you might even feel like you want to set your gaze on one point. And that's an actual central nervous system trigger to set your gaze on, I call it a literal gaze, because you move your gaze back to center. You put it on something ahead of you, and then you soften your eyeballs. So you're not, like, looking at one thing and staring at it. You're just setting your eyes in one position and then softening the gaze, and that helps your central nervous system calm down and experience what's going on in your moment more than looking all over the place, and it gets you out of your body to do that.
Yeah, I can see that training runs being pretty easy to do, but especially maybe like on a big race, just for example, New York Marathon, you're surrounded with just chaos and people.
Right.
How do you recommend it in a situation like that where, I mean, everything is moving around, it's hard to stay focused,
right.
And then you've got that inner energy and the...
Yeah, well, it's even more important. It's like every moment in life that gets intense and chaotic, that's the time to really use your tools. You know, that's the time. It's easy when you're out on a trail and nobody else is around you to do all this stuff. Just like it's easy to talk about being at center and acting like a good person, but then when someone's in your face arguing with you, that's the real test, you know. So the point is, when you're in a marathon situation and everything's heightened, that's the time to really do it. And what you can do is you can still soften your gaze. I would call it more a peripheral focus. So you soften and you kind of, you gather in, you set your eyes in one place, more or less. Yeah, you're going to have to look around sometimes, but you try to keep it kind of ahead of you. But you soften so that you can see the periphery. You can see everything around you. And so you don't let all this chaos around you take you out of your zone. You are the zone. You start in the zone and you hold the zone the whole way through the run. You know what I mean? So you can set your gaze, notice the people around you. They're gonna jostle, they're gonna be stuff, but you're gonna feel your moment and you're gonna be there in the midst of all of this and still create your own goal and go on your own run as if no one else was there.
Damn.
And yeah, you have to move out of the way and you have to do things, but it's almost like kung fu at that point, where you're in your breath, so you're breathing slower to combat some of the anxiety and to move your mind back into that parasympathetic nervous system. So you're not in the fight or flight anymore, which takes your endurance way down. So you breathe slow and you set your gaze on something and you kind of take in your surroundings, up the environment. And then, what's the other? And then you focus on your alignment and you run. And then all those four things come together. I call it base. It's breath, alignment, sight, and environment. All these things we've been talking about. And it's kind of the base of any runner's toolbox to be able to really own your own run. You master and own your own run instead of letting other runners take you off your game.
That's easy to do, but I think probably with a little bit of training and, you know, to actually keep it at the forefront of your mind, you got to.
Of course, but a lot of people don't even hear this ever. You know, they don't hear it. Even there, I have advanced marathon runners come to me and be like, "Whoa, I've just been running. Like, I don't even enjoy it anymore. I'm just trying to get through it."
Yeah, I mean, it's just odd that it's the mental aspect is just such a strong part of running, but it's just not talked about enough.
But everyone knows that it's there, and everyone who runs hits into it. And I think it's best to start practicing this stuff when you're a beginning runner, because that becomes natural to you. You know, it's hard at first, just like anything. Running is hard at first.
Right.
Relationships are hard at first. Everything's hard at first. But when they know the tools and they start using them from the beginning, they're going to be, by the time they get to a 5K or whatever, the marathon, by the time they get there, they're already going to be masters. They're not going to have to start practicing with the big dogs. You know, they're going to come in like Zen masters.
Well, in a way, they're going to be steps ahead.
If
you have somebody that's going to begin training just doing the physical aspects, but then
right.
if somebody that's compare them with physical aspects and the mental aspects.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, I feel like people from other countries are starting to figure this out. You hear a lot of, I mean, I catch it when I'm seeing some like an amazing runner talking, but, you know, Americans are not often aware of this aspect of it, but I see other people, like you know, Africans, people who have different kind of spirituality to them. We're just kind of starting this conversation now, but a lot of runners have known this for years, and you'll see really successful runners, they have that mental aspect down, they get it.
Well, you always hear about the, you know, like the truly elite runners, or I guess truly elite any athlete. The whole idea of in their mind, they've already run the race. They've already done what they need to do.
Yeah.
And that whole idea is coming more to the forefront now, but it's been slow.
Yeah, it has, and I'm glad you're getting some information out there because it just helps people. I've seen it in my clients. I've seen it in my own brother. And it's just what powers you through your run. It's not just your bones and muscles. It's your heart. It's your mind. It's your breath. And so use them all in concert, and you're going to be you're not only going to be a more successful runner, you're going to be a happier one. Because it can actually be powerful and fun to run instead of just something that you have to do for exercise.
Yeah, you'll actually feel good after doing 20 miles or something.
Yes. You feel like you've got, like you put back more than you took out. I mean, your body will be very tired, but your heart and mind will feel great.
I think that's the true benefit. So the people that run on a consistent run consistently. I mean, that's why they do it, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
A little while back, you were talking about really getting into the zone. And do you recommend people use any kind of triggers to get into those zones? You know, maybe it's, you touched a little bit earlier about, like, music, you know, when you're driving. Maybe it's, like, a song or something. But you know, whatever it is, do you recommend people use some kind of a trigger to really get them into the zone?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we all have to think of different things to kind of get that feeling up in us, and some days are harder than others to do it, so we have to go through like five down the list before we feel any better. You know, but you should definitely create a list of things that kind of, give you a positive, powerful feeling in your heart, like make you want to run, not just for yourself, but because of something or someone else or for someone. We call that in yoga an offering or a dedication. So you'd actually dedicate your run to something or someone that makes you feel like you want to run for that purpose. And so it could be, I mean, maybe you've got a mix that you listen to that just totally amps you up. Music is great for that. Maybe you want to think about your sick grandmother, or you've got a child that you just love so much and you're going to run on her behalf. They don't even have to know that you're doing this. You know, you're going to run for world peace. You're going to run because you want to see what you're made of. You want to, you know, you're feeling down today and you want to show yourself that you're strong. there's a million different things. I mean, do it for, you know, for chocolate. I don't know. I mean, whatever it is, different people have different things, but dedicating your run makes it not just about you, so you don't get so hyper-focused on the discomforts of the run. And instead, there's something else kind of powering you through that. That's important to have in any situation, but especially something you're going to do that's going to be uncomfortable. There has to be a bigger reason than just the physical discomfort, or you'll just stop doing it. That's why a lot of people, runners, set goals, because that's their dedication, and they want to see if they can make that goal. So that actually drives them, and that's good. Like, you want something that drives you, again, from the inside out. It can't just be an outside in practice, like it's coming at you, or that the discomfort that's coming at you from the outside will just take you down. Right, so you got to, like, expand back out into the situation.
Since you have the yoga background, I know in yoga a big thing is, like, the core strength. And,
Yes. Again,
I think it's another area in running that can really benefit runners. Do you have any recommendations and exercise to really build that core strength?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, my whole style that I started is core strength vinyasa yoga. So I put the core strength back into a practice that strengthens you and stretches you out. I have some suggestions. I don't know what you're capable of doing, but I have, I think I'm in the New York Times either today or next Thursday for this, but I have a huge YouTube online yoga classroom where I have like 100 plus videos on there. And I have a yoga for runners. And I also posted a marathon yoga sequence for marathon runners, but any runner, on another site. So I don't know if you want to link them to that. It's got photos and text and video to take them through.
I can definitely do that.
Yeah, so that's a nice sequence for them to do. And also I have I can suggest a core strength video they can watch. It's for free. You can link to that. But, yeah, like I have all that already posted.
Okay.
So I can email that to you.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah, I mean, but it's so important because running is so repetitive that what happens is runners will run, so they're nice and warm and everything's flowing smoothly and whatever, and they stop running. And most runners don't stretch properly. They stretch a couple of, like, runner kind of type stretches. It's okay, but it doesn't get, like, the IT band and, you know, the knees, so they'll cool down, and their muscles cool down and kind of freeze shorter than they were before because they were contracting them running. And it starts to pull on the knees and the joints, the hips, the low back, closes up, the chest, lots of areas, and they don't really know how to optimally stretch that after. A lot of people stretch before, which actually doesn't do anything. They found a cold muscle doesn't really stretch, so you have to stretch after your practice for about 5 to 10 minutes, and it will radically improve your endurance and radically lessen injuries from running if you do it right.
So just stretching will improve endurance?
Oh, yeah, because if you stretch, but you have to do it right after your run.
Uh-huh.
You can't wait till you're cool and then stretch again. You have to stretch when you're warm, like literally when your heart rate just slows down enough so you can stop, you want to drop into a couple of stretches. Because the reason it increases endurance is because if you have a wider range of motion in your body, you get a better stride, you don't fatigue as easily, you're not limited. And also your joints don't hurt, so you're not slowing down, you have more mobility. So you want to make sure to optimally stretch, especially the leg muscles, the hips, and open the chest.
How long do you recommend people stretch?
I mean, you don't have to stretch that long to make a big difference. I have a pose called the Magic Pose, and it's kind of an all-in-one runner stretch, and you can do it for 2 minutes on each side. If you don't have any more time than that, do it for 2 minutes on each side and go. It's way better than nothing. But then I have a longer sequence that I posted online, so they can do one of those poses after or whatever. But I'll give you a little list of those things.
Oh, that'd be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. The magic pose, my brother does it after every run, and it saved him from having to get knee surgery. He was on a fast track to, like, his ACL. But because you open the way your body's structured, if you open your muscles, it releases pressure on the joints, so you don't have all this connective tissue rubbing all over the bones and needing surgery over time. And your knee untracks, your ankles untrack, everything. And so stretching is really, really important. But you don't have to do a ton to get a good, a lot of benefit.
One thing I want to do, though, for you is give you an opportunity to tell people how they can get a hold of you. And if you've got products, especially related to running and that runners can use.
Yeah.
How can people get a hold of you?
They can go to my website, which is SadieNardini.com. Same as my name. And it has my email. It has links to my free yoga pages, my free yoga sequences. And so they can email me if they want any, if they have any specific questions or if they want me to show them a pose or anything. I'm always available to answer yoga questions. So, yeah, that's the best way for them to reach me. And I think just, if something's not feeling right in your running practice, either in your body or your mind, reach out and ask someone who knows. They can always email me, or you'll have other experts, I'm sure, and stuff. But if something's not feeling right, don't just try to run through it hoping it'll go away. Like, find some other tools to make it an actual pleasant experience to be running. I mean, that's your life right there. So if you're not enjoying yourself, do something to change that.
Such a simple point, but it's so true.
It takes us all a lifetime to do it. Like, it's not easy, but it's possible.
Right.
For sure. I've seen so many people just transform their running practice and actually love it where they just didn't before. Especially beginners, because they got a lot of work to do usually. And they're going to hit into a lot of walls right away. So they're going to need, they're going to need extra tools. And all these things are going to help them a lot.
Thank you for taking the time on this and all the great information.
It's great. Well, thank you so much. It's been really an awesome conversation for me to have. It was fun.
For more information on how you can train your brain for running success, please visit www.runningaudio.com/runners.